Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, welcome to episode 330 of See You Next Wednesday, a pop culture and film podcast where a single die roll decides what movies we have to watch. This episode drops on May 28th, 2019, and my name is Dan Gorman. And does he use gang terms like Set for his friends or neighborhood? Does he have a gang name or alias like Death Snake, Big Dan, Hellfire, Lil Smurf, Twin Nacho, Viper, Mad Dog, Clown, Loco, or Baby Chico?
Alright then. Mm-hmm. My name is Casey Lyons, and ooh, that naughty old elf must be one mean bastard to give us this so early.
Yeah, good. So good.
That's one of my favorite things.
My name is Greg LeGros, and if I suck balls, then you're king of Suck Balls Mountain.
We have a lot to talk about this week. We have Film Roulette with a Talking Hedgehog film, mm-hmm. as well as John Wick, and we will...
Maybe narrow down which Talking Hedgehog film it is, Dan.
You'll see. Either we have a really early preview of a film that's gone back to the drawing board, or there's another Talking Hedgehog movie. And we will talk about an album that was given to us as punishment, and we will roll for movies next week. If you'd like to get in contact with us, you can do so at info@modernsuperior.com. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at SYNWPC, which is where the new episodes get posted to.
Yeah.
And you can have a good day.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. How's it going?
Well, alrighty.
Yeah. We're back.
We're back.
Back, baby.
Hey. What's going on?
Nothing.
Yeah, summer is coming.
Yeah,
yeah.
Warmish.
Yeah, swing. Summer. Well, it was coming, and then it retreated today.
Yeah. Yeah. Lots to talk about. It's been a while, as they say.
Yeah.
Let me get my app open with the news.
Tell me the news.
Yeah, there's a lot of news since last time we spoke. I feel like.
Hey.
Let's see. Right here, I got some.
Yeah.
Angel Has Fallen.
Oh yeah.
There's a trailer
that
for
is
it.
Newsworthy.
I still haven't seen the trailer.
What?
You're going to go in blind.
What?
I know. I can't imagine why. It's my favorite franchise right now.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where I'm like, I'm definitely going to see that movie.
Yeah.
That it exists makes me very excited.
Yeah.
I hope it goes to space.
Yeah. Yes, please. For the love of God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mike Banning on the lam, and you'll never guess who he runs into.
I hope it's the president.
Yeah.
I thought it was Elf.
Yeah, the president.
Yeah.
President
in this world.
Kill me.
Kill me. And the bad guys. Yeah, that trailer looks suitably ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Stop making homophobic comments about me.
Yeah.
Yeah, good trailer.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize, I thought this was going to have more to do with an airplane.
Mm-hmm.
But no, because no. Angel has fallen, right?
Yeah.
You know who Angel is?
The president?
Dan Boreanaz? Mike Banning.
Oh.
Because he's the guardian angel of the president.
Oh.
Oops. Ooh. Just shit my pants.
What?
Yeah.
Keep it stupid. All right.
Yeah.
Bring it on. More.
Oh, yeah. There's no turning back now.
Please go to space with this franchise.
Yeah.
Go to space.
Yeah.
Supernatural shit, too.
Yes.
Yeah, I want him fighting ghosts. Yeah.
But, like, punching them.
Yeah.
This should be, first of all, should be, like, James Bond length of series.
Yes.
And this should be tasteless James Bond. Everything that they refuse to do with James Bond.
Listen, and they did a lot with James Bond.
Yeah. Like, James Bond is pretty tasteless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He never said fuck this much, though.
Fuck.
Yeah. I didn't love the last one like you guys, but I'm always ready for another one.
And you watch that again.
I loved the first one.
The first one
but
is my jam.
Yeah, the second one is Cuckoo Bananas.
I'm all into the first one. Yeah. So I'll watch Angel Has Fallen. Why not? Trailer looked pretty entertaining. Speaking of trailers, another quick trailer, Terminator Dark Fate.
Yep.
Has a little trailer out there.
Sure
kind
does.
Kind of an extended teaser. They show a lot, trailer. But yeah. Looks like it might be all right.
I think it looks fucking awesome.
Yes, because this is the abusive relationship we're in with the Terminator films, where they treat us poorly, they don't offer anything up, then they come back and like, I'm sorry, sir, we fixed everything. Look. Now I have Linda Hamilton.
Yeah.
Please let me in.
Yeah.
And we're going to,
Oh, absolutely, because this looks closer to T2.
Yeah. Well, you got a legitimately decent director. Mm-hmm. You got Linda Hamilton.
Yeah. Who's directing it again?
Tim Miller.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Tim Miller.
Deadpool fan.
Yeah. And James Cameron's at least involved.
Yeah. Yeah. And not like in Genesis where they like had him.
Genesis.
Because they had that thing with Genesis where, like, he was talking about how he'd seen the film, and it was kind of like he was probably just paid to say really nice things about Genesis because it was like, and then they came out and he looked at me and I was like, wow, they really nailed it or whatever.
Yeah, that movie sucks.
I think I enjoyed it more than you two
I liked,
did. Because I watched it
way
after the fact.
Uh-huh. I saw it in 3D, and I am notoriously forgiving in movies when it's 3D because I feel like I'm just on a little dumb ride.
Yeah.
And like the effects can be the worst effects ever, but I'm like, but they kind of pop out a little. So I'm like, somebody, a Toronto film critic, I can't remember who, said like it's basically an Albert Pyun movie. And I was like, yeah, if you watch it in that, like, this is just a dumb movie. It's pretty entertaining. But,
Fair enough.
Sucks.
But I went to see a Terminator movie. Like, I have this part of me that's, like, hoping to see something good again, you know?
Well, because there needs to be, like, the Terminator series is a prestige series, or at least it started out being.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the first two movies, like, are it's not just, like, fun, dumb action. They're genuinely great movies.
Yes. Yes.
And then the third movie kind of ruined it, and then Janaias Suisse was like...
And Salvation.
What the fuck ever. I didn't even see that.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's bad. I feel like ever since 3, it's been a series of like, well, if this was a movie I stumbled upon that didn't say Terminator on it that I watched on TV in the middle of the night, I'd be like, I got what I needed. Like, but because it is a movie that's trying to do something in the world of a... existing thing, it's like these are terrible.
But it's ignoring everything and it's a direct sequel to 2.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good.
I like that they're just doing that now.
Well, why not?
I
mean, if all the sequels suck, then no one cares. Just go ahead and do it. It's fine.
I do
there's no fucking rules, you know.
I do feel a little bit bad for the directors of like 3 and Genesis because it's like they're like, oh, hey, you're gonna get to make a Terminator movie. Holy shit, that's awesome! And then they make their Terminator movie, and now they're like, yeah, your shit doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah. Well, he's probably like, that's probably for the best.
Yeah.
Name the director of Terminator Geminiscence.
Oh, it was Gary Fasenstein.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
I think that I feel like it was.
I don't think I could even name the
director.
I want to
say
three.
It was McGee, or did
McGee
do
Salvation? And 3 was. The guy who did Blade.
Oh, yeah?
Norrington.
Norrington?
Yeah.
No,
Norrington.
Oh, I'm sorry, Norrington. We meet again, Norrington.
Yeah.
That's funny. So Dark Fate, Terminator Dark Fate, we'll see.
I'm going to watch it.
You betcha.
Yeah.
Even when the reviews tell me it's a stinky pile of shit that's just preying on my nostalgia, I'll be like, not yet.
I'll be like, okay.
Terminator 3 was from the director of Breakdown.
Breakdown's
a good movie.
Breakdown is a really good movie. Jonathan, was it Stephen Norrington?
Jonathan Mostow.
Oh,
they got Mostow for it.
Mostow.
And let's see, who was Genesis? Alan Taylor was Genesis of Game of Thrones and Thor Dark World.
Well, hey, I don't like
worst,
either of those.
The worst fucking Marvel movie. No question.
Yeah.
I saw 20 minutes of it. I'm telling you that much.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it nearly broke Chris Hemsworth. Yeah. I read a thing where he was like, yeah, after Dark World, I was kind of like done.
Yeah. Man, fuck this shit.
Yeah. Terminator Dark Fate. Let's see it.
Yeah. Okay.
Another teaser. There is a new Star Trek teaser for a new show.
Oh, yeah. Picard.
Picard, where he's like, check me out, harvesting some grapes over here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's very teasery, very simple teaser.
And I'm in. I mean, it's like, this is really cool they're doing this. Yeah. And
you just got to say,
awesome,
like, he's coming back.
Yeah.
And it'll be about that, and I'm in. Yeah.
Yeah. But the teaser, I was like, you've watched Star Trek, right? The voice that's like, we, you know, you did all this stuff, and then you walked away, and now we want to know why.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, because he's 70. And also, the last time he was on screen, you hinted that he, heavily hinted that he has dementia.
Yeah.
So that's why.
This show better have nothing to do with space and just be about a crazy old grape farmer.
Making grapes.
What if it, the start of the show is
making non-alcoholic wine out of it?
Yeah. And they
are just putting them up his butt. Yeah.
That's where they get that stuff for IKEA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They approach him and are like, we need to talk about all the things that you did in space. And everyone in his life is like, we thought that he was just making up these tales of space because he's an old man with dementia. We were like,
or
sure.
It turns out he just was.
Yeah.
All of Star Trek is just his crazy dreams.
That'd be good.
And anyway. Whoopi Goldberg was there.
Yeah, sure.
That was
Picard.
Dead on Patrick Stewart I just did, by the way.
Yeah, Picard. Yeah, I'm interested. I didn't even really watch the last Star Trek, The Discovery.
Oh, I don't.
But
watch
I feel
any
kind
Star
of interested
Trek.
In this. I might give. I feel like I would jump. Into
yeah.
This.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely checking this shit out.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure.
Other news: Robert Pattinson to become the Batman.
Yeah, that's a thing. That's some news.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, boy,
I am of two minds of this. One, which is like, sure, I've liked things that he's done recently. He's amazing in Good Time. And I would watch him do Batman, but then I'm of another mind where I was like, fucking mix it up, do something wild, like give it to someone who's not the, like, I kind of like it when they cast somebody that you can't picture as Batman. Like,
well,
I'm like, yeah, I can
picture
him as Batman.
I kind of feel like it is a bit of that, because physically he's not
No,
that
not
at
physically,
all.
No. But as the Bruce Wayne, I could kind of picture him like as... Sure.
Well, I tried to, but then it doesn't... I still can't make it fit. Now, that being said, I am into this because I can't figure out why they've gone this way.
Yeah.
I understand he has a very large chin, but other than that, and I think he's a terrific actor.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen him in a couple of things now where I've been like, yes, this guy's really, really
He's had a really
good.
Cool career post Twilight.
Really smart, and he really delivered in this stuff. So, yes, he can totally act. I know they put him through like a crazy amount of auditioning and screen testing, so there's something. And, you know, I'll never assume I'm right about anything again because I was one of the people who was like, Heath Ledger.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally.
And I was one of the people who was like, Jared Leto!
That one we all knew, like, nope, this isn't going to work.
100%.
That one's it. This one's just like, it's so bizarre when you have people out there like Armie Hammer. And like easy things that like just make fucking sense that they're going to get in there.
I think so, were people saying Idris Elba for this too, or just Bond?
Just Bond.
Okay.
I didn't hear any Idris Elba towards Batman.
Yeah, so we'll see what goes on there with that.
Yeah.
With
but
the,
I think it's
I'm
interesting.
Batman.
And if they're going to make the detective Batman like they say they're going to, then great. Let's get interesting. We need Batman movies that we haven't seen before.
Mm-hmm.
And they've never fucking touched on the fact that he's the fucking greatest detective in the world.
Yeah.
That's one of the coolest things about the comics. It's called Detective Comics. That's where he comes from.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That would be awesome. I want to see that.
Fuck yeah.
Hell yeah.
So let's get weird.
I think it would be really, really cool if they spun this from that, like if they created the world of his Batman off of the, and I know they're not going to do this, but off of the Joaquin Joker.
Yeah,
like just a real street level.
Maybe they will.
That
if
could
this
be
Joker
cool.
movie's fucking huge.
That would be cool as shit.
Yeah, because they're free to do it. They could if they want to. They can just retcon and go in a whole different direction. And I read something about them like tossing around the idea, not a DC cinematic universe thing again.
No.
But they were thinking about having like maybe a Gotham-centric
mm-hmm.
universe of films.
See, that yeah. is cool.
Like that show, like. Gotham.
Gotham, yeah. yeah. But like with interesting characters
yeah.
and stuff.
Yeah, less
acting.
People from the OC.
Yeah. Right. But like I heard rumors of like getting into, not, skipping over the Robin chunk and getting into Nightwing and stuff like that. So that's cool. I don't know. I doubt that'll all happen. But
yeah. I'm also excited because it is what is his name? Matthew Reeves
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
of Planet of the Apes.
Totally.
And I fucking loved the last few of those. So
yeah.
I'm really excited.
I didn't
about
love
that.
Them as much as you, but I like how he paces movies.
Yeah.
And I think his pace
yeah.
would
yeah.
be so good for
Batman. For that kind yeah. of if yeah. it was like you say, maybe if they lean a little towards the detective stuff, I could see that
yeah.
really working. Yeah. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
We will also see The Long Walk by Stephen King turn
yeah.
into a movie.
That's
big.
Yeah. It's huge.
I've never
it's
understood why huge. It like never was truly adapted.
Very
dark. Because it's so good.
Very dark,
yeah.
and it's going to be very disturbing if
yeah.
they do it right.
Yeah.
And I would think that I wouldn't want to see it on the big. It's one of the ones that's the most personal to me.
Yes, I've
because
heard
I have
it
a very,
number of times.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Like I have
feel
a very
like
personal relationship with a lot of Stephen King properties.
Yeah,
that one specifically is what like when I first read that. That was when I was like. Oh, like allegory and stuff, right? Like,
yeah.
And so that really, really kind of hit me in a big way.
It's funny that like it feels like not lesser known of his books, but like it's the one that I feel like has the real ravenous people that like when they, like because somebody passed it to me when I was in my 20s and I was like, holy shit, this book is amazing. And I was always just like, I want a movie of this. But yeah, I've met a number of people who were just like, yeah, that is the fucking book. Like,
yeah.
And it seems like it's, like, obviously Stephen King heads know it. It's a big book
well,
for him.
And
but,
it was a Richard Bachman.
Yeah.
Yeah,
pre-
one of the Bachies.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was definitely the one, like, for if you talk with Stephen King people not,
yeah.
going back years ago, it was like that and The Mist was
yeah.
like, these
that's,
are the,
well, it's
the
funny.
Things that nobody knows. And,
yeah.
like, these should be the movies.
Of the, yeah, like, of the short stories, which his
yeah.
short stories turn into movies a hell of a lot better,
yeah.
I think. Those were the two big ones for mm-hmm. me. And honestly, I think they did a great job with The Mist.
I do too.
I think
yeah.
Frank Darabont doing Stephen King is just a win.
And I like the change of the ending too.
Yeah, yeah, it's a big swing.
It's yeah, it's well, it's a
yeah.
it's no soft commitment.
Yeah,
no.
You know? I was like, oh shit.
No, it's fucking
that was a choice.
Terrible.
Yeah,
it's
just. Heartbreaking.
Yeah.
But that's good.
I keep meaning to watch that in black and white because I know a number of people who say like
oh,
it
really?
Completely turns the movie like into something very different in terms of the way it looks, but like makes it even better. Because then it kind of feels
that.
Like that kind
like
of black and white
50s monster,
yeah, monster
movie.
Movie.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
I would love to see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that'd be really cool.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Totally.
Mm.
Yeah. There's a couple movies, I think I've mentioned it years ago, but people say that also, this is a bit of a lesser of a movie, but the movie about the spooky doll Dead Silence.
Ghost Dead.
No.
What?
What? Dead Silence by, is it James Wan or somebody?
Oh,
yeah.
The little doll puppet one. People are like, yeah. if you put it in black and white, it is a bit, it has, like, he was going for the gothic horror vibe, and it makes you feel that a little bit more. Hmm. Yeah. So I would like to see Long Walk into a movie, though.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
I heard something about Survivor type being developed into something as well.
Oh.
Not a film, but like maybe some as part of some sort of television something.
Hmm.
I don't know. I'm drawing into like somebody mentioning something. I don't know, because I feel like you're going to lose the impact of it. Of being inside the guy's mind, right?
Well, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's going to be a lot of flashbacky stuff, obviously.
Yeah.
But
that I mean, it's a great. It's so short.
Yeah.
And that one, it's fully like its medium is text because that's how you're reading his diary. And
yeah.
And you see him fall.
You
apart.
See him go crazy.
And, yeah, and it's fucked. It's when you finish it, it's like I'm not okay.
Yeah. I'll never look at my earlobes in the mirror again. That's a thing that I don't know why that bothers me the most.
It is terrible,
but it does.
Yeah.
fucking bananas.
Yeah.
Hey, while we're at it, why don't we fucking throw Here There Be Tigers up on the screen? Because that's a big nothing. That is a fucking zero.
Yeah. It's like a writing exercise.
Yeah.
It's like, ah, fuck it here.
Yeah. The exercise is write something that sucks.
But yeah, Long Walk. That's wild. Yeah. Do they have a director attached
or
anything?
Let me see. I'm not sure.
I feel like I didn't read any names to go along with it. That's going to tell you everything, I think.
Let me see. I saw a name. It's loading. Andre Overdahl.
Oh, yeah. Troll Hunter and
Autopsy of Jane Doe.
And Autopsy of Jane Doe, which is actually a really entertaining movie.
Yeah, Autopsy of Jane Doe solid.
Might really get something.
Yeah. And he's also doing Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, which I'm very excited about.
Right.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, didn't you have those books when you were a kid?
Woo.
They are horrifying.
Scared the shit out of me.
Yeah, the artwork. Holy and I thought they were really adapting the artwork to the look.
Yeah.
They filmed that in Toronto.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope it's fun.
Scary Stories. Mm.
Yeah. It's like very notable for the art, which is incredible. Yeah. And like,
and just
when I think back to like, I was really young when I read this and like was scarred for a long time. Some of that shit is so nightmarish. Yeah. So yeah, Long Walk, that could be very
good.
Could be
something, man. Cool, cool.
Another thing that could be very good and probably will be because of the name attached, Akira.
Yes.
Yes.
Taika Waititi.
Yes.
Doing Akira.
Right.
Please and
immediately.
Thank you.
The only thing he said about it so far is like, don't worry about the whitewashing part. Because that's what because remember when it was going to be DiCaprio like, and
I think it was
Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Hey, no.
Yeah. So. Yeah, this is bananas. And he's going now. He's not going to remake the anime. He's going to draw from the
novels.
Yeah,
from
the manga. So that's good because the anime doesn't actually tell the whole story.
And I feel like it's one of those things that is so close to so many people as a piece of anime history.
Yeah, oh God, I mean, I adore. I love it. It's one of my favorite film experiences I've ever had.
I need to revisit it.
Fucking bananas. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah.
Still never have.
Yeah.
It sucks when you say that's your first anime because everything you watch after that is like.
And
well,
I feel like it was so many people's first because it was one of those things that, like, you know, Blockbuster had it and it was like, whoa, what's this?
Yeah. And it's fucked and it's crazy. And, like, the story is, like, just holding on for dear life. Because I don't really know. I've watched it, like, a number of times. But it's so visually
amazing,
stunning. And it is one of the best scores I've ever heard. Like, it fits the movie so well. It's jarring, it's hypnotizing, it's really remarkable stuff. That score is fucking nuts. Don't try and make that movie, you know, try and just go for the comic source and work from that.
Totally.
But and I heard some people talking about, oh well, he, you know, he is visual, but in like a comedic sense, and like, is he going to get like the violence and the dark tones?
Oh,
and
for sure.
And I was like, are you nuts? Like, go watch the last 20 minutes of Ragnarok.
Yeah.
And tell me he's not the fucking guy.
Yeah.
That whole bananas that goes down in Asgard, just, you know, when like, are you the god of hammers? When Thor has that awakening and then the fucking the Led Zeppelin shit kicks in. That visual style, that
love
approach,
it.
Like that scene's nuts. It looks so good and so unique.
Yeah.
That's the guy.
Yeah. Even if you look at stuff like Wilder People, the way that movie is like, it has its violent moments and the way that it is sewn into a movie that is a bit more comedic and the style of that movie is amazing. Like, even if he hadn't done Thor, from some of those earlier stuff that he did, I'd be like, yeah, he has that ability.
He's great at balancing tone.
Yeah.
Like, he's great at having that levity, but not having it undercut.
Yeah.
Like, because there's some very sweet moments and some great drama in Wilder People as well.
Yeah. I'm so excited about that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I got to go back. I don't think I've seen Akira since, like, high school. Like,
yeah,
and I probably wasn't intently watching it then. I just remember being like, this looks fucking amazing.
I watched this so many times in high school. Just smoking pot and eating mushrooms and all kinds of shit. One time we ate a bunch of mushrooms and so we watched Akira on mute.
Nice.
And listened to the Aliens soundtrack over
Holy
it and
shit.
Just watched the visual, listen to the Aliens soundtrack. It was wicked. And then we're like, because we were still all mushroomed out, we put on Aliens on mute and played the Akira soundtrack. And we were like, this is insane!
I love that. The only know. I didn't do
you
anything.
Know, it's true what they say. Only kids should do drugs.
Because
they have the best ideas.
Yeah,
I would never come up with that now.
I think what we did mostly was put cartoons on and mute it and then listen to rap.
Yeah.
And, it would often be like, this looks like fucking they're rapping. Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty good.
Like, Brack is rapping gangster rap. I love it.
Oh, Brack.
Oh, yeah. I love Brack.
I was thinking about Brack the other day. I was like, oh, I miss Brack.
The greatest.
It's really good. I recently downloaded every episode of Brack, and I put it on, and Emma was like, what is this?
Yeah, I tried to get a theater to watch it many, many years ago. Yeah. And it's like, this, guess this is just for me.
Yeah. I feel like a
I
lot of
I dare
you
to say
yeah.
that again. Only this time say, Brack, I love you.
Yeah. I love it.
I will tear off your arms. Oh, no, not my arms. This is where my hands live.
It's so good. Oh, so Brack good. Is just so good. Yeah. Speaking of things that we watch with our eyeballs, did you guys watch some stuff this week?
Yeah, I watched some stuff with my balls.
Straight up?
I don't remember.
Very quickly say, on Netflix, you can watch The Lonely Island Presents The Unauthorized Bash Brothers Experience, about 30-minute music video visual poem, as they call it.
Yeah.
And you can also then, after you listen to it, because you will want to do this, you can go on Spotify and listen to it as a 30-minute album.
Cool. I watched the first six-some-odd minutes or something like that.
It's good.
It's a musical or whatever, a long-form video about the Bash Brothers, Mark McGwire and Jose Canseco.
Yeah.
Who played for the Oakland A's in '88.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's so good and so specific.
The first 6 minutes is like, well, I don't know why in the world how this conversation started to do this, but
I'm
thank
glad.
God.
Yeah. It is so funny. Yeah. Yeah. It's just all.
They're terrific rappers.
I know. Yeah. And every song is kind of like different eras and different parodies of rap. So there's one that's like very specifically Beastie Boys-y, and there's like ones that are a bit more supposed to be like modern rap, and it's like they adapt to every different style so well.
Yep.
And then it's just
Andy
super
Samberg
fucking
and
hilarious.
Akiva Schaffer. I like that Akiva Schaffer is stepping out from behind the
It's so specific, so funny. And yeah, I went and I listened to the album on Spotify like a couple times after I watched it, and I was picking out lines that I was didn't get in the when I watched the videos because I was laughing or whatever. Yeah, it's really funny.
Yeah.
So that's a good one.
Yep.
Put that on Bash Brothers on Netflix.
Yeah.
What else have you guys been watching?
Well, speaking of two things that we've previously mentioned.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Netflix.
Yep.
Yes.
And McGee.
Yeah.
We watched something that McGee made for Netflix called The Rim of the World or something like that.
Oh, I just that's McGee joint.
Oh, big time.
I didn't know. I saw the trailer and I'm like, I'm interested in this.
Oh.
Tell me more.
Yeah. What's this?
Well, it's a movie about a group of kids at a summer camp when they're at a summer camp and then the world is invaded by aliens.
Mm-hmm. I feel like,
they've got to get the secret microchip to the scientist who can stop it all.
If I was a kid, I'd be right into this. I'm like, can we have like a Goonies or something for...
Right? Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And?
It sucks.
God damn it.
It not only sucks, it fucking sucks.
Oh, no.
Jesus.
In the worst way, it is the most it's the biggest misfire I've seen in a long, long time because it has no idea what it wants to be. Because every character says shit and almost fuck a bunch of times. Everybody at one point says, what the fuck? But it still tries to be for kids, and a kid talks about his dick a bunch of times.
I see.
So it's
why
you can see what it's going for. Like it's trying for like a Monster Squad or where the kids call
little edgy.
Yeah. So they're trying to go for that, but still make it for kids. But there's no story. Like, it is the least interesting thing. And it just the computer at like the aliens look fucking so dumb, and it looks like it was animated by like me. Mm-hmm. Oh god, just do not even fucking bother. And that also sucks. All the kids suck and I hate them.
Damn,
I don't like hating that kid. Kids. Yeah. God damn it, I hated these kids. Yeah. I was like, oh my god, aliens eat the kids. Why won't somebody?
They're just kids. You can catch them easily. Easily. I can catch mine, no problem.
Yeah.
If I wanted to eat Zoe, she's fucking done.
Yeah. I'd eat that whole child. For somebody eat these children. But no, don't. Don't.
That's, yeah, that sucks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The writer did X-Men First Class, Thor, and a bunch of the Flash TV
series.
There was
series. A writer?
Yeah, that sucks. Interesting.
Like
I feel
TV
like
series.
I saw like the thing on Netflix scroll by, and I didn't know if it was like, I just didn't know what it was. So I
I watched the trailer on Netflix. I'm like, I want this to be a good thing for you know 10-year-olds or whatever.
No, nope, it's a not a good thing for any year olds.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's a bummer, man.
Yeah.
Rim of the World. Sounds like a McG joint, to be honest.
Yeah. Oh,
God, it just made me feel like. It made me feel really bad for McG. I was like, oh, fella, you don't know what the fuck you're doing.
No, and I feel like he did that movie, The Babysitter, also for Netflix, and I feel like that felt like a confused move from him where he was trying to be very, like, youthful and, like, smash cuts and, like, yeah, it felt very, like, who are you?
Yeah, like I feel
what
like
is it
McG
that you do?
Doesn't know what people do.
Yeah.
But he has seen enough movies where he's like, I think I understand how to make this type of a movie, but oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. What about you, Greg?
Well, this isn't really of interest to you guys, but I feel like I should talk about it because I know at least some of our listeners are Game of Thrones watchers.
Oh, yeah.
So
I think
finished
it definitely
Game of
needs
Thrones.
To be talked
yeah,
about.
Totally.
And obviously everyone hates it, and the internet has been abuzz with it. And I feel like we all know what the problem is, but it was crazy to see how poorly this all went down.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I like Game of Thrones, but I'm not an obsessive fan.
Yeah.
But I really appreciate the scale of the show, because it had been, for like the type of show it is, easily one of the most well-made TV shows of all time. The acting, top to bottom, is stellar. This really intricate patchwork of storytelling. The game of chess that's going on with so many different people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Game of Thrones.
And visually astounding. It really is an achievement of television that they were able to have these event moments or moments.
The moments went viral. Moments of people watching the moments
could do
went
it
viral,
over
yeah,
and over again, which with such
absolutely
ease and class, that the shift into this season where they had this self-imposed finish line.
Yeah,
no one told them to do it. This is the biggest show in the world. They keep going.
Yeah,
and they put a deadline for themselves, but had painted themselves into a corner with too many things to finish. So all of the characters stopped doing things that they do and saying things that they would say because all the writing used to come from an internal place, and now all the writing was to serve a end point.
Yeah.
So people like doing things that didn't make any sense, having arcs, and like they broke all of their own rules. I understand it's a show that has dragons and zombies and other kinds of shit in it, but it established
zombies?
A set of rules. kind of. They aren't quite like zombies, but they were super cool, and even in this terrible season, it had two episodes of the most spectacular spectacle I've seen in television, like things that blew my fucking mind. I'm like, look at that!
Yeah,
what an achievement! Because the costume design, the direction, the acting still stayed way up here, but it was like watching like bad lip syncing of something. Everything coming out of everyone's mouth is like, what's going on here? The drop off was literally staggering.
That's wild.
Yeah. And the thing is, all the things that happen, like how it ends, if someone told me these are the things that are going to happen, I'd be like, hey, that's not bad.
Yeah.
I can get behind that.
Oh.
But it's how we got there was like, you felt nothing. Mm. It's like if I told you guys what happens to like four or five of the biggest characters or six of the characters, because you don't have anything attached to it and you don't care.
Yeah.
You had the same emotional journey that I did.
Yeah.
Because it ended and I watched it happen and I watched people die or get what they wanted. And I was like, okay.
Check out
that. I see. And I felt nothing. It had no pace. It lost all of its touch.
Wow.
It was fucked. It was a downward spiral like I've never seen. It's not as bad as Lost, where the show becomes irrelevant to ever rewatch.
Yeah.
Because it ended so like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah. And I feel like with Lost, there was a longer, from the sounds of it, there was a longer stretch of like, okay, you're just okay. A fish flopping around here. Yeah. Like,
we're building. Here we go. Yeah. We're world building and creating all this tension, drama. We're all coming to this point. We got to the point and fuck yo, we're out. It was insane. Wow. It was very disappointing. Like, very disappointing. Yeah. I would never say that you shouldn't watch. Not you guys, because you don't care. But I wouldn't say to someone that you
like,
shouldn't.
Don't,
You could still go on the journey because it's fucking remarkable.
Great until you get,
And then it ends like, ugh. That's too bad, man. You really had it. You had it. I know you want to go to Star Wars real bad, so you fucking wrap this motherfucker up. But
any part of it because they ran out of George R.R.R. Martin?
Well, they ran out a while ago, didn't they?
Yes. Did they?
Yes and no.
No.
Okay.
I thought they were past the books at a certain point, right?
Like a while ago.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, it has been on its decline since then, but only in lightly. Like, this is some of the dialogue in these last four episodes. It was like, what is, like, it was so rushed and poor. Wow. Rushed.
That's crazy. Yeah. It was wild to see from the outside because the week before the finale, the reaction to the second last episode, I was like, oh, it ended because of like how people reacted to that second last episode so poorly.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, wow, what happened with the Game of Thrones finale? Seems like everyone hated it. And they were like, no, the finale is next week. And I was like, what?
No, well, they did this. They killed two major characters in a way that was like, what? Like, one of them, you've been waiting to see them fucking die the entire fucking show. And it happened in almost, it might as well have been off camera. And then this character that you've gone on this huge journey with and you like love deeply, just like they decided, now you're bad, and did something that was like so far out of character. Like, if you want to get that character to that point, you need at least one full season of the decline.
Yeah.
Not just like, fuck it.
Yeah. I'm bad now.
Yeah, it was like that. It was so just like, wow. What was the what? And the logic of things like the dragons, they did this show with the dragons. Didn't make any sense. It just got out of hand where the dragons are invincible. The dragons are very, very fragile. And when I say fragile, I mean fucking invincible. So it was all over the place.
Oh. Wow. That's disorienting.
That is a roller coaster.
I can't imagine. Like, I'm not one of those people who's like, I don't like Game of Thrones, so nobody else is allowed to like Game of Thrones. I feel genuinely really bad for the people.
Yeah, what a bummer.
I feel really bad for the people who were so invested in it.
Yeah.
Because some people were straight up invested in it.
Yeah.
The people I don't feel bad for is the dinks online who...
the petition.
Create a petition for goddamn everything.
Jesus Christ.
Don't like Robert Pattinson as Batman? Petition!
Yeah.
Don't like the way Game of Thrones ended? Petition! Yeah.
This shit doesn't work out for that. Like,
never has. It never will, because nobody cares, you basement-dwelling dickhole.
Yeah. Did you guys see the outrage around Captain Marvel, like, recently? Some guy was posting
back
about,
again.
Like, she's actually a villain, because the guy who comes up to her outside... That in that like Terminator kind of homage, he tries to help her and then she beats him up. That's what a thug does. She's a villain. And I was like, you fucking idiots.
Oh my God, you sad little wiener. Yeah. You little wiener. Go to bed.
Yeah.
Go to bed. P.S. Fucking Captain Marvel is a dope movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So good. Anyway.
Yeah, that sucks. So, that's a real bummer.
It really does suck.
Yeah,
It was at such a level of professionalism.
Yeah, at least with Lost, you had that like, all right, what are you doing? Like, well, that's we got a while
the whole
to
show
get
was
there.
Built
they,
on that.
They let you know seasons before that everything was gonna suck.
Yeah. Yeah. This quality's gonna waver.
And that show lives and dies on what the reveal is.
Yeah.
Whereas Game of Thrones was this huge intricate thing put together, and they just let all this stuff go to rush to this ending. And again, it was a rush thing. That was the problem. Because if you wanted to tell this story, like, that's fine. It's there. And you can get into that. But you need at least a full season. Probably two.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's a bummer. I feel like they just wanted out.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like. The writing was so hacky. And they got sloppy, too, like with the fucking... I spoke of the show still looking great, but the coffee
cup...
Oh,
yeah, the stuff with the cups and the bottle of water. Yeah.
That's really weird.
That's bonkers to have a fucking coffee cup sitting there on the table.
But don't worry, my foot will be in the way.
But to have it happen once with the coffee cup is bananas. But then have it happen again with the...
It happened three times.
What was the third one? Oh, I heard about this. What was it?
So the coffee cup, and then there's the water bottle, which is fucking ridiculous. That water bottle, that is some straight-up dog shit that's there.
Yeah.
I can only imagine. That is like literally dozens of people fucking up.
Yeah.
But the other one is one of the major characters loses his hand at one point, and instead he has a golden hand, it doesn't move or anything. Like, it's just there.
Yeah.
And for seasons now, that's been his hand, is this gold fucking hand. And then the last shot that he's in the entire series, he's hugging someone. You can see his normal hand on her back. It's like, are you fucking kidding me?
It sounds like it was a huge joke.
Yeah.
Like a massive joke, the biggest joke in the whole wide world. Make this show that is wildly popular, that people... consume voraciously, and then just go psych.
Listen,
a fart noise, and then
there's a viral thing that went around, an Animal House version of the ending of Game of Thrones, and I swear to God, if they had just done that instead, I would have been happier. They would just went, fuck y'all.
He died on his way back to his home planet.
For Game of Thrones fans who are listening, find the Animal House ending. It is wonderful.
I'd like that.
Sure.
Idea.
Nicely done.
Yeah.
Anyway, enough of that.
Really quickly, I watched a movie from last year that I had been meaning to watch, and I wanted to check in with it. Did either of you guys see A Simple Favor? Starring Anna Kendrick and Blake Lively.
No, I was really interested to see it, but again, you get Paul Feig behind that camera, and I become less interested.
Yeah. Listen, this is a very good movie.
Oh, that's awesome.
I really liked it, and I wished more people would see it, because it's a fun movie. It's kind of a thriller. It's trying to kind of throw back to like those twisty thrillers. It's kind of going for like a... almost like a French thriller kind of thing. Anna Kendrick is so good in it. Blake Lively is very good in it. All the supporting cast is very good in it. It's very funny, a little long, but really, really, really entertaining. Falls apart a little bit at the end. But Fig does a pretty good job. You kind of wish that somebody would like help him lean more into like the style of things. He said like, about this movie, that he was trying to shoot it like a big budget comedy because like then it's going to play off the thriller things, because like thrilling things happen in the daylight, it happens in like the bright sunshine, it's not always spooky or whatever. And I get that, but it also kind of sounded like, this is what I can do, so I did that. But like it's well directed, and it doesn't look bad, and it has good energy, but it definitely feels like, oh, you could have leaned in a little bit into like the trappings of that genre and go for some of those camera things. But it's fun and it's funny, and I totally recommend it. You won't have a bad time watching A Simple Favor. You'll be like, that was delightful.
Yeah.
Just right for the night. That's it. Yeah. It's definitely worth watching. It's very like Airplane novel, kind of like trashy, but like glossy, kind of like fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really liked it.
Sweet.
Yeah. What else? Is it?
I watch whatever the kids want to watch. And Beatrice's favorite movie right now is the Teen Titans Go movie, so I've watched that a bunch of times, and I got to tell you,
still great.
I never get tired of watching that movie, because I fucking love that movie. That movie, fucking love that soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
The like theme song for the movie, which is different than the theme song for the show.
Yeah.
The theme song for the show is fucking super dope.
Yeah,
but the theme song for the movie is so good. and then it's covered at the end by Lil Yachty. And I didn't know what Lil Yachty did before this, but I'm a big fan of Lil Yachty now.
Nice.
Only because of that.
I fucking dare you.
I listen to his actual music, yeah. And it's not, you know, music. But no, that's not fair. Yeah, no, I couldn't get into it, but I love that he's part of the Teen Titans Go movie.
Mm-hmm. Sweet.
Yep.
Anything else?
Yeah.
Greg, what you been checking?
Well, so, you know, it was devastating to watch something skillfully made and watch all these great characters revert to speaking only to forward plot as opposed to following motive of character anymore. I was like, I need to watch just straight up trash.
Nice.
So I watched two movies that have some weird thing. I'll talk about them together. Okay. I watched something you saw.
Okay.
I was supposed to and I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I watched The Great Wall.
Oh yeah! Oh, wow!
Damon.
Yeah! What a weird thing to go back and watch.
Yeah. Well, I know you told me this, but the way the movie was marketed is so off.
Yeah.
Because they called it The Great Wall, and it looked like kind of a historic, period piece, whatever. But that movie does not need the name The Great Wall.
No.
That movie is supposed to be called Matt Damon Fights the Lizard Men.
Yes.
Because that's what that movie is.
Yeah.
And there are lizard people everywhere in that movie the entire time.
Yes.
That is what's going on.
And there's things about it that I liked.
Sure.
Yeah. I had,
for instance, the lizard people.
Yes.
Yeah. And the bungee jumping ballet people.
Yeah. All this
is cool.
Like revisionist history where people have like super unrealistic but modern-y sort of technology going on and many colors. Yeah, very strange. Yeah. And Matt Damon's accent is like, I loved this movie because it is a bad movie.
Yeah.
But it's so full steam, pedal to the metal bad. It's like we have all this stuff and we know it's nuts, but
it's very it's one of those things that I both like, you look at it and you're like, this is such a wild movie and it's not great, but I kind of, again, like, I don't think I gave this a great review, but there's parts of it that I love because it is one of those singular vision movies, like the movie that the guy that made Dark City made, Gods of Egypt, where you're like, this is what you want, like, this is it for you. You were like, this is the movie I'm making, and I'm putting the pedal all the way down to the floor, and it's gonna suck sometimes, but other times you're like, this kind of works.
Yeah, Great Wall, I really liked because, like, Matt Damon's accent is totally fucking bananas. I don't know what he's supposed to be. Is he European? Is he Irish? What is it? I don't know what it is. And then eventually he's just like, can I just be Matt Damon now? I'm just going to do that voice. But, like, it's a movie that you're watching, and about every 10 or 15 minutes you go, what is going on?
Yeah.
Are you fucking nuts? Anyway, it's great.
Yeah, there's, like, fun monster stuff in it.
Yeah, it's super stupid. It doesn't make any sense. It's just, it's the best kind of enormous dumb.
Yeah.
Just a good time. And so then I also, because someone told me to watch that, it also told me to watch other things. So I'm like, all right, I enjoyed Great Wall, so let's see what's up. I watched King Arthur.
Oh, I saw that too. I had to watch that for this.
And I had no idea. Okay, so the way the movie was sold was just like, King Arthur, we're going to have a period piece.
Yeah, King Arthur, but
like
Guy Ritchie style.
Yeah, but it's super, not just Guy Ritchie style, which I knew would have like quickie editing and stuff like that, but like, it's got over the top magic and craziness, like elephants the size of skyscrapers, like they're fucking and all this crazy magic shit.
Isn't there like an octopus
demon
or
guys?
Woman
fucking
or something?
Octomermaid ladies and stuff, and all this crazy cuckoo banana shit. And everyone's talking like all modern and the quick cutty Guy Ritchie fucking editing. I'm like, this is a shit show.
Yeah,
but it was fascinating.
Yeah,
in how fucking silly pants it was. Yeah.
Did you see Gods of Egypt?
No.
Okay.
Next on my list now.
Yeah. Watch Gods of Egypt.
Yeah, I'm leaning into
this.
They're
flying around on fucking beetles and shit.
I would say, yeah, Great Wall better than King Arthur.
Yeah. Great Wall has more stuff where I'm like, this is legitimately fun. like the monsters, and it can be there's cool designs and the battle,
and way more what are you doing moments. Where, so I got time for that. Whereas King Arthur is just the whole way through is like a big cringe. That I kind of enjoyed though. Like I was like, oh, you.
It's a it's a very different. What are you doing? It's this really. With Charlie Super, Hunnam and Guy Ritchie, and this is what. Why do we need this?
We don't.
Speaking of King Arthur, I don't know if I talked about this on the show, but we watched The Kid Who Would Be King.
Oh yeah, I watched that. That's the film
From Joe Cornish.
Joe Cornish, yeah.
An odd follow up to Attack the Block for Joe Cornish. Well, I mean, directorial follow up.
Yeah.
What did you think?
I liked it.
I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is. It's and it's very sweet, and the message of the movie is very nice, and I felt like it was a little too long, but overall for that kind of movie I was like, this is really solid.
It was a little too long and almost a little too small.
Yeah,
like it was a little too
there's a few times
claustrophobic where it could have been a little more expansive
to get bigger. There's a few times where they fight things and you're like, I feel like we're going through the motions here a little bit,
but it did feel like and that's something that I really liked about Attack the Block, was that it was very street level and like we were like kind of running along, and
I think the designs of the monsters in that movie really helped that, because there could just be a lot of them running around and doing the same things with those monsters, but because it's such a fascinating design, and really cool, and
you
really
felt the threat of them behind, kind of. But a lot of fun,
and
what's his name, King Kong, and also
what are you saying?
He's King Kong, and he's always like the motion capture
guy.
Andy Serkis. Yeah, his son looks a lot like him.
Yes, because he's the star of the film.
Yeah.
It's a good movie that I think more people should check out. But I didn't love it, so I wouldn't like rave about it.
No,
but it's a solid.
Like I didn't go totally nuts for it, but it's really nice, and Beatrice really liked it.
It'll be. A movie like Monster Squad or like those things for a certain number of children.
It'll be that movie that kids find and go like, oh, this movie means a lot to me. Like, this is my little movie.
Totally.
Yeah.
And that's nice. A reason enough to say it's like, check it out. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Hmm.
Totally. Hmm. Anything else?
I'm good for now.
I saw something that is really big that I think we can talk about when you guys see it.
Is it my butt?
But I saw your butt, and it's pretty big. I did.
And this is how you tell me?
I watched Booksmart by Olivia Wilde. I think we should talk about it in more detail, but that's a wonderful film.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll tell you
great.
That.
Keep hearing. Everybody keeps saying.
Very, very good. But otherwise, we can get to Film Roulette then.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Yeah. Film Roulette is our weekly segment where the three of us roll a die and the two.
Roulette is our weekly segment where the two of us roll the dice.
And the high roller sees John Wick 3 or something great, and the low roller sees a terrible movie. Terrible movie.
Something hedgehog. About a hedgehog. Does a hedgehog talk? Oh, yes, it does.
Does he ride a horse?
No, he does not.
I wish, yeah. but the low roller gives the winners.
Not even once does he ride a horse.
Is there a horse in the movie?
Not even one horse.
Is he directed
on a horse?
Is he voiced by the director?
There's only a horse on the cover. What the fuck?
Yeah.
More to come on that.
Yeah,
I'm venturing dangerously into Elliot Kalin territory right now, so I will stop singing. But
So the low roller gets to give the winners an album to listen to. So this week the winners were John Wick Chapter 3, and the low roller was a Talking Hedgehog film. And then we had to listen to an album by Right Side Fred. First off, John Wick 3 or John Wick Chapter 3 Parabellum by Chad Stahelski. The grace period is over. Keanu Reeves is back as the titular John Wick, and this is the third in the highly anticipated series. People love this stuff, and I will get out there right now and say I didn't get to the theater to see this, and as such rented and paid money for the hedgehog movie. So I will join Casey in the losers. But I didn't get out to chapter 3 of John Wick.
All right, well, let me tell you what's
up. So I want to know, because I was somebody that I feel like was a little bit softer on the first one and then hadn't caught up with the second one yet.
Oh, okay.
And you guys were a little bit lower on the second one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so because the first one is amazing and the second one is
meh. I'm really interested to hear, because I know you guys coming out of that second one were a little bit like, it's fun, but no, not so great.
Yeah, I felt a little low. So, John Wick 3, Parabellum, went and saw it. Went and saw it probably in the right circumstances, too. I saw it for a bachelor party.
Oh, sweet.
Part of the afternoon of the bachelor party.
That's awesome.
And I also, when I was purchasing the tickets for myself and the groom and... I was just buying tickets, and then I saw I could get D-Box tickets, and I was like, well, this seems like the dumbest thing to do for a bachelor party.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Decision to
four,
make.
Four, please. And so got the D-Box seats.
I love it.
Didn't tell
you
them either.
You said, I will give you money if you put me in your D-Box.
So, and you, I realized as well that you can, there's a button on your seat that elevates or decreases the amount of shaky bananas your chair does. So I reached around and just jacked everybody.
Yeah, everybody's a 10.
Which was nice. It moves for everything.
Oh my God.
Like.
Somebody coughs.
Yeah, like fucking everything. At the, like, and we were all just shaking around, shaking for the whole movie. At the end of the movie, this isn't a spoiler or anything like that, but somebody's walking down a hallway with a cart, and they dump the contents of the cart over, and your chair goes, like, was I in the cart? Is that what I... Okay.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I love that.
So, John Wick 3 is absolutely insane.
Yeah.
It's...
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's totally thrilling, almost exhausting. The first, I'm so impressed with the first 20 minutes or something of this, which is fucking nonstop. Keanu Reeves, I just want to just clap for.
Yeah.
This guy is, this filming this is a fucking workout. Like crazy, crazy, the amount, and it's much better than two.
Nice.
But the thing that it does well, just like one and two, is no crazy camera work during the fight scenes. Mm-hmm. You watch these expert hand-to-hand combat skilled professionals and stuntmen do amazing shit.
Nice.
Amazing shit.
Yeah.
And it's funny, and it is fucking horrifically violent.
Awesome.
So
oh
much.
Man, this is exactly what I wanted to hear about this movie.
And the plot, like, I don't know. It's gotten further down to crazy town. So one has this special little magic, and that's great. And then two is pulling us away from the magic into crazy land. And this is like, let's turn it up in crazy land. And they're like, the support cast is fun. It's a great villains pop up and adversaries for him. And all and part of it felt like I was watching Warriors. If Warriors was like a high skill combat film, I'm just like going through, because he's a marked man, right? He doesn't have any kind of protection. So all these different types of gangs and like people who are involved in this thing come at him, and they all have different fighting styles and different, you know, resources and shit like that. So wicked, and a ton of Ian McShane, can't go wrong with that. And visually beautiful, like it's a well shot film. It looks great.
Yeah.
And was just it was so totally insane that it brought me right back. Like, I feel like I need to go reappreciate two.
Yeah.
Cuz two starts really strong.
Yeah.
And then loses steam.
Yeah. Quickly. And I feel like, and four has been announced.
Yeah.
Which I was shocked at. Well, not when I saw the end of this. I'm like, are they doing more? And yeah. Like a week later, because it was the first movie to topple Avengers.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we're doing another one. I'm like,
nice.
Goody, goody. Yeah. So I feel like how this thing will live is like one is its own sort of perfect little action movie. And then two, three, four are going to be this trilogy of total insanity, yeah. Which, yes, please. And it's great. And my hat's off to Keanu Reeves for what a remarkable screen fighter he is.
And seemingly all around awesome guy.
Yeah,
what a great
endless
guy.
Endless stories of how terrific he is. So great. And good for him for having this franchise be this crazy huge thing for him. Another franchise for him. You know?
How was this excited me as somebody who likes, crap DTV action movies, but yeah. I heard that Mark Dacascos is in this. You would remember, might remember him from a number of bad action movies. He played, who did he play in this? Zero?
Ooh, did people have names in this? Yeah. I need a picture.
Okay,
show me
I'll
a picture.
Find a picture of him. But he's a really awesome...
Let me pull up the cast list anyway, because some people deserve a little... credit.
He's this
Halle Berry is great. Yeah, okay, that's what I was looking to find.
Yeah,
that guy is amazing.
He rules.
Oh God, does he almost steal the entire fucking movie?
He's great.
Yeah,
he's been in a lot of stuff. He was in that terrible Dr. Moreau movie, but he was in this amazing movie called Drive from 1997, which is wonderful. But yeah, he was in the Double Dragon movie. He's in a ton of movies. You scroll through his thing, you'll see. Yeah,
he elevates this movie.
Yeah.
100%. God damn it, I loved this. It was so much fun. It was so much fun.
Yeah, I gotta see this.
And I have never seen more people get bit on the balls by dogs in one movie in my whole life.
Amazing.
Wow.
I think I've seen...
You've seen Air Bud movies,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I have. I think I saw more... guys get bit on the balls by a dog in this movie than I've seen movies that feature anyone getting bit on the balls by a dog.
Amazing.
That's a grand total. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So much ball biting. And the best use of a horse in I don't know how long.
Wow. Nice. I wish I could say the same thing about my movie.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had... fine horse use in my film. See in the theater in a D box if you can.
Yeah, and crank it up.
But yeah, this, if you want, like, listen, it's super violent. It is very violent, violent, violent.
Holy
I'm
shit.
On board.
But I was there for that, and we all cheered and laughed like idiots. And it was
shook
great.
Around.
It was a good time at the movies.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Well, that is exactly what I wanted to hear about John Wick 3.
Mm-hmm.
How's Jason Mantzoukas?
Not in it enough. I'm waiting for his character to become something,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't. And hopefully, maybe in four.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of waiting for something to become something,
yes.
I joined
Hedgehog gonna ride a horse.
Andy the Talking Hedgehog to become a movie.
Yeah,
sadly it never did.
I joined Casey. I think I paid $3 or $4.99 to rent. I think I rented it in HD on Google Play. From 2017 synopsis: a movie about a talking hedgehog named Andy. Period.
Yep,
is the synopsis on Letterboxd. Andy, Talking Hedgehog, starring Dean Cain, Tara Reid, and a number of other people. A couple pretty wonderful people in this movie, I gotta say. So this is of the a talking cat type of, you know, movies that are seemingly made for no reason other than to sell through to like cable or fill time on a family channel or
this movie was
Tubi
made
TV
by,
or something.
This movie was made by somebody who uttered the sentence, "I bet I could make a movie."
Yeah. And then he did it like, let me see here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times so far. But yeah, this movie is something.
Oh, wow.
Holy shit.
this movie is absolutely trying to fill time. This movie is making up its plot as it goes along.
Well, here's the first thing. Andy the Talking Hedgehog narrates the movie and starts the movie with one of those like, "Hey, that's me. You're going to find out all about my adventure. I'll tell you, like, here's how I got into this predicament kind of shit."
I love that. Yeah, because it's like, here, and this is his voice. "You're probably wondering, why
I'm Andy. I'm Talking Hedgehog.
You're probably wondering why these two guys are trying to kidnap me. I'll tell you about that later." By the way, that does not come in until the very end. It culminates in this. "Hey, let's get off that hedgehog." Okay.
They say something about an internet. They say something about, like, the internet and we'll get paid money or something.
Something about that. I made notes.
Okay, good. Because I didn't, but...
So it starts out with that, and then it immediately deviates from that.
Yeah.
There's these two bumbling crook kind of guys, one of whom says more than once, "What's the matter you?"
Yeah.
And that is absolutely his character.
Yeah, that's the one character is that, and then the other character is like...
The other character is Curly.
Yeah, I'm like a Three Stooge, and I go like, and then fart a lot.
But if Curly farted all the time.
There's a point where he like does a little, where they're like doing something, and he fart, like he was doing a little song, or like... What is that?
Oh, no, it's because initially they want to get rich. They're going to win $10,000 in a talent contest.
Yeah.
And they're like, "Hey, do your talent." So then the "What's the matter you" guy whips out a harmonica and starts playing it.
And then the other guy,
literally not to the a beat or anything, just starts burping and farting.
Yeah.
Bleh, bleh. And literally that is his talent, and I'm like, dude,
you got it. Yeah, and so this movie is like the epitome of everybody in it is like the friends of people in the movie, other than Dean Cain and a couple other people. It's very like, we're filming in someone's backyard. This is David Dakota Talking Animal level production.
Yeah,
you know,
everything's going to happen.
Maybe a step up from that, but yeah. Like
everything's going to happen in the backyard or in the house because
and
that's all we got.
If the guys need to get a ladder open and put a ladder up against a house, you can bet your fucking bottom dollar that we're going to spend 5 minutes watching these guys try and get a ladder up.
Because they'll open the ladder, they'll both grab a side, they'll turn it around a couple times, both fall down.
Yeah.
Then they'll get up, turn the ladder a couple times, fall down again.
They'll put it up in the air, but they can't get it to go all the way over. I don't understand.
And literally every time the Curly guy falls over, he farts. Literally every... And he falls over in every scene.
Oh, my
God. He's in.
Is there a hedgehog in this movie?
Yes.
All right. A talking hedgehog.
Okay.
Does he talk to people, or is it like that movie I watched where he just talks to the camera and has no bearing on the plot whatsoever?
There's a real magical thing that happens, which... What is it that has... Isn't it... She just says, like, "I wish he spoke to me."
The inciting incident is the girl goes, "I wish animals and plants could talk." And then they can.
And plants.
Yeah.
Do the plants talk in this movie?
That's a running joke that they go to that well 50 times.
Yeah.
Where they're like, "Oh, I can't believe animals can talk." And then they'll pan over to some flowers. "Don't forget about us."
Yeah.
And plants.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So there's Andy the Talking Hedgehog. He does that kind of voice and he narrates a lot. There's a weird looking cat. That's also voiced by the director, because Andy is voiced by the director. But it's like, if Andy is like, "I'm a talking hedgehog," the cat is like, "I'm older." Like, it's just like, it's just the same guy doing like a slightly different, like, "I'm a older voice now."
Yeah. So she makes this wish that I wish animals could talk. And then her fairy BFF.
A.K.A. Tara Reid.
Tara Reid, who, by the way, I'm worried about again.
Yeah.
Because she seemed surprised to be in this movie. Like, I'm Fairy God's mother. And she's like, she grants the wish or whatever.
Clearly, like, the kind of thing that was shot, like, we had a weekend and, or we had a day with Tara Reid and we had a room and she's in the room so we can cut to them in that room.
It's all green screen and it is the worst green screen I've ever seen. So she's the fairy godmother or whatever. And so the conceit of this movie gets lost 100 times.
Oh, yeah.
Because initially it's like the hedgehog goes, hey, I can talk now and you can hear me. And the
literally
little girl's
probably
like,
dialogue.
Yeah. The little girl's like, wow, you can talk. And he's like, animals talk all the time.
You just
people
don't hear
just
us.
Don't want to hear us. And I'm like, so do they want to hear you now that everyone can hear you talk? And then he goes, but I can't talk in front of other people. I can only talk in front of you. And then he talks in front of literally everybody all the time.
Yeah, and there's all these scenes of people being like, he won't talk. And then it talks, and they're like, oh.
But literally, they're like, that hedgehog can't talk. And he's like, oh, I'm a hedgehog. And they're like, oh, my God, that hedgehog talks. So what's up, hedgehog? How you doing? You good?
Yeah.
Like, everybody's just immediately cool with it.
Teen Wolf syndrome.
Yeah, except for Dean Cain, who goes into a spiral of depression.
Yeah, Dean Cain is the dad, and he goes into this, like, oh, the hedgehog's talking. Oh, my God, I'm going nuts. And now I'm, like, sitting at home in, like, slack, in, like, my sweats and stuff, and I'm on my phone going, like, beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop, I dropped my phone. Like, I'm eating chips. It's like, he just goes off the edge.
His whole thing is, like, he's like, a hedgehog can talk. I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to only eat chips. Yeah. And I'm going to start barking like a dog.
And he's like,
I'm going to have an erotic scene with the hedgehog at a certain point.
Yeah. There's that scene where he's on the couch with his phone and he's going like, I caught up on all the episodes of Funny like Bird and Silly Dog or something. And he's like, beep, boop, beep, beep, boop, on his phone. He's like, what's going on?
I love Dean Cain in this movie.
Yeah.
Because nobody knows their lines or whatever, but he's like, he's the best actor at the community theater.
Yeah.
And so he's elevating this to a whole other level.
Yeah.
But again, he just fucking goes crazy. And then he's like, oh, I guess I'm crazy. I guess I'll start talking to the hedgehog. And
why does he start barking again?
There's no reason why
he starts going
barking.
Like, I'm a dog, I guess. Woof, woof, woof,
yeah,
woof,
he
woof.
Goes, I'm crazy. I hear talking hedgehogs. Look at me, I'm a dog. Ruff, 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 ruff.
Yeah,
ruff,
he's ruff, like ruff. Growls at his wife.
The guy farts a lot.
Meanwhile, there's a lot of footage of just like there's a number of scenes where it's just like, I guess we'll just watch the hedgehog walk around the grass for a couple minutes or like roll around. Just like, here's some footage of a hedgehog.
Yeah, they go back to that well a couple times. There's a couple moments I genuinely enjoyed. You know the dumb girl? Oh, by the way, there's a lot of dumb shaming and a lot of fat shaming in this movie.
Yes.
There was
a couple jokes with that like, the daughter is a cheerleader and her friend is stupid or whatever, but there was a couple things I laughed at.
Yeah, I really like the stupid friend because
she was aware of
her
stupidity. She was like, why? Because I'm stupid or whatever.
She said, they're like, oh, you just live in your own la-la land. And she goes, oh, yeah, because I'm stupid, right? And they're like, yep. She's like, nice.
Yeah, that was kind of funny.
And she goes, and the one girl wants to make money off the talking hedgehog. Yeah. She's like, we've got to exploit him. And then the dumb girl goes, we're going to blow him up. And I'm like,
pretty funny.
That's pretty good, dumb girl. And then also the hedgehog, like, they're like, hey, hedgehog, come on. You got to become famous so that we can make money off you. And the hedgehog goes, okay. And then one of the cheerleaders goes, and this is absolutely my new catchphrase for the rest of time, goes, atta piggy. Holy shit, the word atta piggy is my favorite thing I've ever heard. So anytime either of my kids does anything good,
atta piggy.
But also, he's a fucking hedgehog. He's not a pig at all.
You might be wondering what happened to the plot. Eventually they are like, we're gonna try and steal the hedgehog, and then Dean Cain like saves the day by pushing him over.
Wait, what?
At the end of the movie, like they're gonna like steal those two, the bumbling guys, get the hedgehog,
yeah.
And then Dean Cain becomes like Superman, yeah. And like throws these chips in the air and runs over, and the guy's running away with the hedgehog, and he just pushes the guy over, and the day's been saved.
Yeah,
he got pushed
he lands
to
on
the ground,
the hedgehog, crushing it to death. The end.
Well, actually, I loved in that scene because they're doing a slow motion thing, and he's running with the fake hedgehog, and then Dean Cain pushes him over, and then the fake hedgehog just falls to the ground and is like a fuzzy fake hedge. You're like, doesn't matter.
Some of the performances in this, the mom, I don't know why she's so smug all the time, but she's an actress who's just like this. I guess the hedgehog can talk now. Yep, we're talking to a hedgehog right now. She's so good. It's like, hey, fuck off, lady.
Yeah.
And also, your kids are dicks. And then Dean Cain goes, because at some point somebody goes, he's having a nervous meltdown. And I'm like, that's not a term at all that humans use. And then at one point, the mom intimates that the cat, the scary cat that's also voiced by the director, is going to try and fuck one of the kids. because they goes like, hey, where's Whiskers? The cat's name is Whiskers. Where's Whiskers? And I love this. The hedgehog goes, one of the kids' name is Tina.
Yeah.
The little girl. I saw him slumming it in Tina's room. Sweet burn on Tina, yeah. You shitty hedgehog.
Take that, Tina.
So he goes, I saw him slumming it in Tina's room. And then the lady goes, oh, that lecherous old cat.
Yes, I forgot.
Lecherous cat? Is he trying to fuck that little girl? Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I forgot about that.
Maybe she doesn't know what lecherous means, yeah. Or something, or maybe the hedgehog's going to try to fuck the girl, but Jesus H. Christ, this movie does not know what it's doing.
No.
Amazing.
And one of the wonderful things about it is if you thought the movie ended once the credits started to roll, instead you actually get the director who played two voices in the film, and he also produced the movie. You get him in character as the old cat and the hedgehog, talking about all of the people's names in it, saying like, Tina, she was nice. She really likes baseball. Or so, like, just
holy
like
fuck.
Talking about the people in the movie. And then like, Dean Cain, he played Superman on TV.
Whoa,
like talking
Jesus.
About everybody in character.
It really feels like a school project.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
Ernest Lee, he played Bubba. He was really funny.
I gotta say, he was kind of alright. I kind of liked it. Bubba's the farting guy.
Yeah.
He was the guy.
Farting
he was just
stooge.
Doing this shameless Curly impression.
Oh, yeah, no.
But the thing is, his Curly impression wasn't that good.
No.
But there's something so lovable about that actor that I'm just kind of like, I like your whole thing that you're doing.
Well, that's the thing about this movie is it's fucking god-awful terrible. But there's something about movies like this where it is just a bunch of people and they're trying their darndest to put on a show. And you're kind of like, I hate this, but it's kind of wonderful.
There are points where they just messed up
the
syncing of the audio to the video.
Yeah.
So they just slow down the video so that it kind of matches the audio. So it's that kind of like choppy slow-mo video so that the people's mouths are kind of moving with it. Uh-huh. It's very odd. And then also there's times where there's a score happening and the score is fucking terrible. The score is happening, and then they switch to another scene, and then the score just cuts off.
Yeah,
because they literally edited.
That's how editing works.
So they edited the music completely out of the next thing.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so inept, but it was kind of charmingly inept.
Yeah. Anyway, 8 out of 10.
Oh, 8.5.
Yeah. 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 It was so bad, but yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
It was really. Yeah. It's pretty adorably fucking terrible.
Yeah. Yes. It is, as the cover says, a magical good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A magical good time.
Yeah.
There's a point, like, they must have gone back and fixed things because, again, there's some fat shaming in this where there's a mean girl at school and the hedgehog is like, hey, fatty.
Holy shit.
Stop being so mean. And so that they must have been like, that's a little harsh. So before that, the hedgehog who narrates the whole thing,
yeah.
You hear the hedgehog say, you should always be nice to people, even if they're mean to you. So this next thing I did was a little mean.
Yeah.
And then they got to her and was like, hey, you fucking fat piece of shit, kid. And then he's like, mine wasn't very nice that
yeah,
day.
Yeah.
No,
that explains it.
You called a 9-year-old fat, you shitty hedgehog.
Yeah. Well, if we want to see a movie with a horse, we could always watch Joel Paul Reisig's Horse Camp.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This, I'm a little bit interested in the horror movie that he made, because I don't know what that could be like.
What's that called there?
American Scream King.
Okay.
Those are not words.
Synopsis.
Sense together.
Tagline, 10 topless girls, 8 dead bodies, 1 twisted story.
Oh, my God.
Holy shit, I have got to see that movie.
They got 10 topless girls? Yeah. The like, inexplicable, but pretty wonderful.
Holy crap.
Oh, I loved it. I fucking loved it.
I would say... You could watch. I feel like if you want to watch Andy the Talking Hedgehog, you got to do it with friends. Like, it was a good encapsulation of, now I watched it and we got to joke, rip on it, and have fun with it.
Yeah.
I feel like if I was just watched it myself, I would have been like, okay.
Well, like, watching it myself,
the charm eventually would wear off.
It would be a really great Mystery Science Theater esque type thing to just sit and rip on, because there's a lot to go on.
Perfect.
So speaking of a lot to go on, we have an album to listen to this week, and we did. And Greg, you gave us that album.
Yep.
Tell us what it was and why.
Right Said Fred.
What?
Up.
What?
The big, enormous hit, I'm Too Sexy.
Greg, don't talk, just kiss.
Yeah. this is a fucking stupid song. It was crazy how big it was.
Yeah.
And novelty songs don't get through anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But then there was this, like, the whole band was supposed to be, like, sort of a tongue-in-cheek kind of thing, but I don't think the audience has kind of understood that. It was just, like, a weird time that this band popped up and then disappeared.
Yeah.
And I wanted to know what their album sounded like.
Yeah.
And I figured you should listen to it instead of me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, okay.
This was big, as you mentioned, came out in 1992, was number one on a number of charts, the UK particularly, and went platinum 2 times in the UK, and gold and platinum in US and Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah. Up.
Up.
Yeah, yeah, with I'm Too Sexy, which you will remember.
Yeah, this guy, he was too sexy for his shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what kind of life that is?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think this album sounded like?
I don't know.
Really?
I can't imagine what the next song is like.
It's sort of what it's like. I feel like it's sort of what you think it's going to sound like. I was surprised at how many of these songs I was completely aware of.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, 3. But
were the other ones Don't Talk, Just Kiss, and Deeply Dipply, or Those Simple Things?
No, I don't know what those simple things are.
Because those are the 4 that have links, as I mentioned last week, our last episode, on the track listing and Wikipedia. So I'm like, those must be the singles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Deeply Dippy, I remember. And I'll say right now, if you don't like the song Deeply Dippy, you're wrong.
It's good. It's
that
fine.
That song is great. And the horns in it are great.
It's,
and the little chorus is like, this is sweet and fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, as a pop song, it gets caught in my head. You were singing it before the show, and
yeah,
it was in my head.
I will sing it on my way home.
Yeah, it's not like, not bad.
Uh-huh.
It's funny. At times, it almost reminded me of later, like late 80s Talking Heads. Like they were trying to do that and then quickly scaling it back to just kind of like, there's a lot of boring guitar arpeggios and like with drum machines and stuff.
There's a lot to this that to me just felt like, because some of it is supposed to be kind of like jokey in a way, or almost like satirical in a way, a little bit like, I feel like it is a an album that when I was going to like look at reviews and stuff, there was a lot of like people saying like it's actually like smarter and like funnier than you would think, or like there's people that hold it in that kind of regard as like it was.
I can see
it was doing something, but when I listen to it, I'm like, but it still kind of just sounds like really dated dance pop.
Yeah,
like there's that kind of like Euro dance pop thing going on here where I'm like, yeah, but that's fine if like it's sort of winking at that genre, especially with like I'm Too Sexy, which is like very specifically making fun of a type of person. But I'm also like, but the rest of your album is also just that.
That's the thing is, I don't think it's necessarily making fun of that. I think it's just trying to be a very jovial version of that type
of
music, and I think that it works on that level.
Yeah,
the songwriting is not good. Like it's unremarkable.
Yeah,
all the songs
Deeply Dipply, and then I'm Too Sexy, where you're like, okay, I can understand how these would be bigger.
Yeah, because
singles.
They're set apart. Like Deeply Dippy has some really really fun horns in it, and it has like a oddly long horn section where there's like, why is this in the middle of this song? But I'm not mad at this by any means.
No, it was very just like, oh, that's what the rest of the album sounds like. And then I listened to it a bunch of times and then I forgot about it. And then I remembered I needed to listen to it again for the show to refresh my memory. And it was very, I feel like, overlooked because there's not that much going on here.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure for certain people it was a very right time album, but not one that I feel like going back to was much of interest.
I'll never think about this again.
Yeah,
except for when you sing deeply on your way home.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Worth it for that.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Deeply was fine.
Deeply into your lives. Enjoy.
Thanks.
Casey,
I was inspired by Greg's idea to give a one-hit wonder the entire album a shot.
Uh-huh.
So I decided to do the same thing.
Wonderful.
With a song that is one of my favorite songs of all time.
Amazing.
I
love the favorite song of all time that's also a one-hit wonder.
I love that. Like, since I was a kid, I had such a strong reaction to how happy this song makes me.
Mm-hmm.
And how, juxtapose that against how odd this man looks. and I can't imagine what the rest of this album is like. I want you guys to spend some time with Matthew Wilder's
"Ooh, Break My Stride."
I Don't Speak the Language.
Oh no.
"Break My Stride" is hands down one of my top five maybe favorite songs of all time. Nobody gonna break my stride.
Nobody gonna bring me down.
That's a great
song. Oh,
no.
That's a great song.
It is.
Yeah. Everything about it is a fucking win. Like the weird little guitar that's
look at that
like,
album cover.
Yeah, it's really weird. I don't know why they're in the sand like that.
What
hand's doing. But, what can the rest of this album? And it's not a long album. It's only like nine songs.
Look at these song titles. The Kid's American.
Yeah, Ladder of Lovers. Imagine fucking that.
Listen,
ladder.
I'm excited about this because I am fully in the pocket of this synthesizer thing right now.
Dude, I'm straight up into, like, I'm actually listening to a ton of current synth pop right now, but like that is straight up my jam.
Yeah,
and so every once in a while I'll dip back into something like this, and I feel like it's gonna be
I
feel like it'll be very rewarding.
Yeah.
Yep. All right.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Good pick.
Yeah,
let's do that.
Mm-hmm. Sweet. "I Don't Speak the Language" by Matthew Wilder.
And now you're feeling cocky.
Wonderful. Yeah, look at this Yamaha DX7, baby.
Roll of the dice.
Yes.
Godzilla.
Roll the dice. We are going to roll the dice.
I don't know where my dice is.
Okay.
My daughter found it.
Let me see then.
Hmm.
We will talk about it while I get the dice app.
Yeah. What are we going to do? We're
going to
watch a Godzilla.
Killing King of the Monsters.
Yes.
And then the,
Mamma Mia.
The loser.
So
I'm just going to play a scene from a film for everyone to listen to.
Why are you crying?
Because love makes you crazy. Why are you crying?
She sounds like she's never actually cried in her life. She just heard about it.
So there's a movie called The Test, and that's a scene from it, and we're going to watch it.
Yes, The Test.
Apparently it's a comedy.
So the long and short of this movie is there's a new movie out right now called LaQuisha, directed by
Jeremy Saville,
director of this and star of this.
Yeah.
And that movie is about a guy who's trying to make it in radio, and he's like, man, if I wasn't a white guy, they'd love me. And so he makes up this persona of LaQuisha, which is like a sassy black lady. And then things happen. And so this is his movie he made before that.
It's not just the soul man of it all that is so disturbing about this. It's that he posits a world where it's hard for him to be a white man.
Yeah. And so this movie is about a guy, and this movie also seems to have a very not very good type of synopsis, where it's about he's going to get married and all of his friends are like, oh, how do you know she's not going to like turn out to be a bitch or like turn out to be terrible? You got to like put her through a series of tests, stress tests, to see if she's worthy of marriage. Oh, and so he like does nightmarish things to put her through a test that are like ostensibly comedic, but probably not.
Oh, yeah, because the type of person who has these sensibilities to make these types of movies is has to be an asshole. Like, this guy has to be an asshole.
Or
right?
Either that, or like the kind of asshole who doesn't realize they're an asshole and's like, I'm like a good guy. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like I'm
no,
a nice,
good
natured
totally
guy.
This guy totally thinks that he has a point in making these. And maybe he does. Maybe these movies are actually, I don't know, maybe they miss the mark in some way, but he's actually making some valid points or something. I cannot imagine.
No.
But hey, let's see.
Yeah. Let's see. I got
your dice
a
app?
Die here, and I'm going to crank the volume, and then I'm going to roll it.
Yep. What do you got?
Four.
That's a four,
yep.
Casey.
Yeah.
Five.
Oh, I kind of wanted to see that one.
What do you press? The big blue thing?
Two.
Fuck me, man.
Oh,
you
boy.
Get to see the test.
I want to see Godzilla. Oh, fuck.
Well, the early word is that it's not very good, but...
Really?
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck.
But I still am excited to see it.
Spectacle.
Because there's monsters in it.
I feel like it has to be. Isn't it...
Krampus guy?
Yeah.
He directed
Krampus guy. Michael Dougherty?
Yeah. I mean, something Krampus was fun and entertaining, but it doesn't really hang together. Yeah.
Yeah.
Trick or Treat was better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Way better. All right. Well, next week we will talk about our album. We will talk about our movies, Godzilla and The Test. And we will roll for next week.
Mm-hmm.
As always, you can find us online at SYNWPC. On Facebook and Twitter. That's where our episodes go up. You can email us at info@modernsuperior.com. And otherwise, we will see you next Wednesday. Goodbye, internet. There is no horse in Andy the Talking Hedgehog. Don't let it lie to you.
Hey, there's a fart at the end of that guy. The bug.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.